Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, and welcome to our, for those of you who are internet listening friends, we are beginning our discussion of Rachel and Leah. We started with asking everyone to please write down about the relationship that they perceive between Yaakov and each of his wives, Rachel and Leah being the principal wives that we'll be discussing this evening. Okay, so he wanted to marry Rachel first, he married Leah first. What else? How did he feel towards her?
Yeah, I was going to say, because he wanted to marry Rachel first, wasn't she his favorite?
Okay, mm-hmm. Possibly.
But she only gave him one child.
Two children, Yosef and Binyamin.
And
then
he gave him all those other kids.
They gave him a lot of the other kids, but then also Bilhah gave some and Zilpah gave some, the maids of the Bilhah, how to discuss them.
Reflect some feelings here.
Okay, so if Leah gave, that's an interesting thing we can move along with for a moment here. If Leah gave him more children than Rachel, what does that indicate to us about his feelings towards Leah versus his feelings towards Rachel, possibly?
He still loved Rachel. It's just that, doesn't mean it's just because she gave him more children. Doesn't mean that he, you know, loved her more.
Okay.
Because they were probably together, but you know, it was hard for Rachel. Still, he didn't give up hope for Rachel. But he knew for Leah that, he didn't know, but, you know, Hashem knew that in his eyes, she was hated by her husband. Not necessarily hated, but you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. How could a husband hate his wife?
No, because he says that she was hated, but he really didn't hate her. He didn't despise her. He did have feelings for her.
Why would the Torah say that she was hated if he didn't hate her?
Because they were husband and wife, and they were together.
So then it should say that he loves her. I would hope that that's supposed to be the relationship between the husband and the wife.
But then he had his favorite.
He had a favorite?
Mm-hmm.
How could you do that? We spoke about this before. You know, I was saying before, I was at my grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary party last night. And we've had this rivalry between myself and my siblings and my first cousins, who's the favorite grandchild?
Uh-oh.
Of course, right? So my grandmother did not expect me to come in last night. I'm the only grandchild who lives out of the New York area. She didn't expect me to come in, and you cannot imagine the reaction when she saw me. It was very exciting.
So you were the favorite.
And I turned around. That's what I said to my cousins. I turned around. I said, you see, proven right here, right now, I'm the favorite grandchild. And my grandfather turns to me, and he says, Vina, you're right. You're the favorite grandchild. And he turned to my sister and said, and you're the favorite grandchild. And my brother, and you're the favorite grandchild. And my two cousins also, you're the favorite, and you're the favorite grandchild. We've spoken about this before. With children, you can't have favorites.
That's right.
Right? We've spoken about that in this class before. What about, this is something that I don't think any of us can really understand the concept of, but what about multiple spouses?
But you can't think that you are the favorite.
Now, we're talking spouses. We're talking also spouses that both Rachel and Leah have equal status to their husband in terms of marriage.
Right.
They are married. They're both married to him.
But that's because the Torah wasn't given that. That was before the Torah was given.
It was before the Torah was given. But what does this tell us? What about Yaakov's reaction? How are his feelings going to be then towards each of his wives? Can he have favorites?
Well, he does.
He did in the beginning.
And then at the end it changed?
No, he still loved her.
More than anything.
Because he even showed that he worked for her for 14 years.
Okay. So let's open up your Chumashim, please, to page 152 and 153.
It shouldn't have a change.
That's right.
The beginning.
We're going to talk about that next week.
What page?
152 and 153. We're at the end of Parshat Vayetze. Parshat Vayetze, you should know, is the most action-packed parsha in the entire book of Bereishit. Many, many, many exciting things happened to it. I signed up when I was in college for a class. I went to Stern College. I signed up for a class on the book of Bereishit, expecting to study the book of Bereishit, and got there to find that the teacher said, no, we're just doing Vayetze because we really can't do more than that. You know, you have to pick something and stick with it, and that's what we did. So much of what we're going to be going over tonight is stuff that I learned from my teacher there. Her name is now Dr. Adina Moshavi, and she's now living in Israel, and she is a very great thinker. So here, so let's go. Okay. So this is immediately after the switch, when Yaakov wakes up in the morning, and the Torah says, like, very interesting, which we could talk about this at another point, but just turn the page before for a moment, page 150, 151, Pashuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, Vayehi Baboker, and it was the morning, Vihinehi Leah, and behold, she is Leah. In other words, he didn't know until the morning that she was Leah, so she was Rachel. Vayomer Elav, and he says to Laban, Mazar Ashitali, what did you do to me, Allah? Rachel about it to Imach, Lama Rimitani, I worked for Rachel for you for 7 years, and why are you tricking me? And Laban, of course, all of a sudden, now we've spoken about this also with Laban, that he was never before interested in ceremony, and all of a sudden now he's standing on ceremony and comes in, Vayomer Laban, Lo ye ashechein bim komenu. This is not the way we do things in our place where we live, but to give the younger before the older. By the way, if you read this, I don't know if you've read it like this before, but the emphasis could be put on the word bimkomenu, in our place. Laban is saying to Yaakov, as opposed to where you come from, we don't put the younger before the older. Where Yaakov came from was the younger put before the older.
When the two
were born. Not when they were born, but afterwards.
Afterwards, when they
switched the birth. Right. That here, Yaakov tricked his father into blessing the younger one over the older one. Mava knew about this, about what happened, and he says, that's not how we do it here. Maybe in your place you do it differently. Okay. So he says, why don't you work another 7 years? I'll give it the other one. Yaakov argues with him. At the end, instead, they figure out the end of Shavuot Brachos, the end of the week of celebration, the 7 days of celebration. He gets Rachel as a wife, and then he works another 7 years for Rachel, a total of 14 years. Pasuk Chav Ted, verse 29, Vayitei Mavan LeRachel Bito at Bilha Shivchato. Mavan gave to Rachel his daughter Bilha, the maid, Lot LeShivcha as a maid for her. Vayavo gam el Rachel, and he, referring to whom? Now we're talking about Yaakov, came also to Rachel, vayahav gam et Rachel mileah, and he also loved Rachel from Leah, vayavod imo od sheva shanim acherot, and he worked for him another 7 years. It's very weird language. So this is what we're going to be focusing on for the beginning, for the first half of our class this evening. Is what does this mean in verse 30 when the Torah says, Vayavo gam el Rachel, he came also, meaning in marriage, to Rachel. Vayahav, here's our phrase, Vayahav gam et Rachel meleah. And he also loves Rachel from Leah. That's the literal translation. What do we have here in the English translation? And loved Rachel even more than Leah. I mean, I just showed you just by translating the words for you that doesn't work in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew translation, the English translation here doesn't work with the Hebrew, what's going on. Okay, so let's look at this word gam. How does the word gam show up in various places in the Torah? And what does it mean? What's the structure to help us maybe understand what it means here? Here we're going to look at the first sheet that you had with the title and Happy Yaakov and His Wives, which is what you wrote on the other side, and there's an extra one over here. Okay, so the first verse we're looking at is in Bereishis Chav Zayin in chapter 27, and we're talking about Yitzchak is finishing blessing Yaakov in the trick read that we just mentioned. Vayhi kasher kila Yitzchak levarecha Yaakov, and when Yitzchak finished blessing Yaakov, Vayhi ach yatzo yatzah Yaakov mi'et p'nei Yitzchak aviv, and at that point Yaakov left his father, the Esav achiv ba mitzedo, and Esav his brother is coming in from the fields from his hunting. Vayash gam hu matamim, and he also made treats. Vayavei l'aviv, and he brought it to his father. Vayomer l'aviv, and he says to his father, get up and come eat from what I brought for you. So here we have the word gam is used here. Vayash gam hu matamim. He also made treats. If you look, for those of you who are more familiar with the Hebrew, you'll see that the word gam, which is what we're focusing on, is immediately followed by the object that we're adding to. The gam is the object that we're adding. Sorry. We're adding something here with the word gam. The word gam in colloquial Hebrew means Also. Vayas gamhu, he also made treats. Also, in addition to whom? Who had already made treats that were brought to Yitzchak? Who had already? This is now Esav coming in and bringing the treats.
Yaakov,
or actually Rivka was the one who had made the treats. So, but he is also making the treats. So it's including, it's adding Esav onto what we already had before from Rivka. Fine. Next example in chapter 3, Bereishit Per Gimel. This is after the sin of Adam and Chava in the Gan Eden. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, God says, Hein Adam Hayata Echad Mimenu, now that man has become like one of us, Lada'at Tov V'ra, to understand the difference between good and evil. Va'atav Hen Yishlach L'Yado, we don't want it to happen now that he should, God forbid, send out his hand, V'lakach Gam Mi'Eitz HaChayim, and take also from the Eitz HaChayim, from the Tree of Life. What is this also? The also is adding the Eitz HaChayim onto where did he already take from? We're adding the Eitz HaChayim. Hashem is saying we don't want him to also take from the Eitz HaChayim. Also, in addition to what? When was the, what else did he already take from?
Oh.
What else had he taken from? We don't want him to take from the Tree of Life, just like he has just taken from the other tree, the Tree of Knowledge. Okay, so we're looking at this word gam, this word also. To understand, we see that the word gam implies an added element. If so, now let's go back to our verse, right? Ve'avo gam el Rachel, he came also to Rachel, ve'ahav gam et Rachel mileah. He also loved Rachel from Leah, which implies that Rachel, his love for Rachel, is being added on to his love for Leah, which implies, what about his feelings towards Leah? That he loved her. That he has strong positive feelings towards Leah. So far from our looking at these other psukim in the Torah that use the word yam, so far we see that it's in addition to, that he loved Rachel also in addition to loving Leah.
He had to love her. He spent 7 years with her.
He spent with both of them. What happened was, he worked 7 years. At the end of 7 years, he married Leah, celebrated for 7 days, the Sheva Brachot, and immediately married Rachel, and then worked an additional 7 years. So it was only 7 days that it was just him and Leah, and that whole time he was pining away for Rachel. Like, one of the things, I feel bad for Leah. Mm-hmm. She always seems to get, like, the short end of the stick, and we're going to be talking about either next week or the week after also that there's a bracha that some people give their daughters at the Friday night meal. Some people bless their children. And the bracha that we give to the daughters is that your children should be, that God should make you like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Whenever we talk about them, it's always Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Rachel always comes before Leah. Like, Leah's older. Leah got married to Yaakov first. It seems really unfair. Like, she seems to have been just, you know, she gets the short end of the stick here. Okay. Just another example in source number 3 also, we have the word Gam appears again. This is in the story of Lot and his daughters after they thought that the entire world was destroyed when Sodom was destroyed. And so the daughters both slept with their father to try to continue civilization. What a way to continue civilization. And the older one has a child, and she names him Moav. And the younger one, Pasuk Lamed Chet, what I have here in source number 3, V'hatzi'ira gamhi yalada ben. That the younger one also gave birth to a son, and she names him Ben Ami, which is the father of Bnei Amon. She calls him the son of my nation, which are the people from the Ammonites of today. So here we have also that the younger one is being added to the older one. The older one had a child, and now also the younger one's having a child. So far from the sources that we see, it seems that Yaakov did love Leah, because he's also loving But we have one problem. There's something about our pasuk here that doesn't exactly fit our formula. We have a prefix in front of Leah's name. It doesn't say Ve'yahav Gam as Rachel Zelaya. It doesn't say he also loved Rachel. It doesn't say he also loved Rachel just like he loved Leah. It says he also loved Rachel Mi Leah. The word Mi, the prefix Mi, usually means from. So what does that mean? What's going on here? I brought two more sources for you, sources 4 and 5, in which that word is used, in which that prefix is used. Look in source number 4, breathing on a giant peasant Dalet. It's the second line. Verse 4, this is talking about Yaakov's feeling towards his own children, which we could discuss at another time. V'yeru Echav, his brother saw, Yosef's brother saw, ki oto ahav avihem, that he was loved by their father, mikol Echav, from all of the brothers. Meaning what? Not that he was loved from all of the brothers, but in normal English, Yosef was loved more than all of the brothers. So now we have our first indication that the prefix with a mem could be that it means more than. Source number 5. Again, this is talking about when God is talking to Shmuel, who was a Navi, and his sons did really terrible things. They ate from the from things they shouldn't have eaten, from the korbanot. So God says to Shmuel, why then do you maliciously trample upon the sacrifices and offerings I have commanded? You have honored your sons more than me. The Hebrew is v'tachabed et be'anacha mimeni. That this prefix of men seems to be more than. So now we have a really confusing sentence in the Torah. V'yahav gam et Rachel mi'leah. He also loved Rachel, seeming to imply in addition to Leah, but more than Leah. He also loved Rachel more than Leah. We're like going back upon ourselves here. You know, it's very unclear. How does he feel about Leah? So the Torah actually tells us, as was pointed out earlier, as Zoya pointed out, that God himself describes Yaakov's feelings towards Leah. Look at the bottom of your page. Actually, not quite at the bottom. Where are we? What page are you on?
152.
We're on 152. Okay, so not on the bottom. Just on the next verse. In the middle of the page, verse 31, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Hashem ki sinua Leah. God saw that Leah was sinua. What's your English here? Unloved. Vayiftachet Rachma, and he opened her womb. V'Rachel akara, but Rachel remained
closed.
She remained barren and unable to have children. God saw. Now, you could say that this is Leah's perception of how she felt. That she felt sinua. It's translated here as unloved, but really, in the colloquial use of that root of that word, it means hated. And it sounds like Leah was hated. But wait a minute, just the sentence before, we just finished talking about that she was loved.
Oh.
And she was loved in addition to Rachel. Maybe Rachel was loved more than her, but God forbid, we would never imply that Yaakov didn't love one of his wives, but he hated her. Well, how come all of a sudden we're having this sinuah, this, that Leah is hated? Is it maybe that's Leah's perception? That she felt that because Rachel and Yaakov were so in love, that she was the third wheel. Could you imagine? Third wheel. Like, really? So she perceives herself as being hated, but no, that's not what the Torah says. How does the Torah tell us that Leah was snua? What are the words that it prefaces with? Vayar Hashem. God saw that she was snua. This is not Leah's perception. This is objective. God is seeing a situation that's not ideal. And he tries to help her fix it. So what was the situation is the question that I'm asking you now. What does this mean now that she was snua? We don't usually get into such technical stuff as we're getting into
today.
It just happens to be technical. I don't know. Some people like it. Some people don't. So I go back and forth. Okay. All right. So now let's look at this word, this concept of snua. There is another place in the Torah, as in source number 6 on your page, where the word snua, which the Shorash literally means hated, is used in the Torah. In relation to a wife, by the way. In Devarim, source number 6, Devarim Perchav Aleph. Ki tiyena la'ish shtei nashim. If a man has two wives, ha'achat ahuva v'ha'achat snua. One is ahuva, one is loved, and the other is snua. This word that we're not sure really exactly what it means. V'aldulo banim, he had children, ha'ahuva v'ha'snua, to both of those wives. V'ayah ben ha'bachur la'snia. But who has the oldest child? Not the one who's more loved. She's the one who has the oldest child. So the question is, when the time comes to pass the property over to the children, his both wives, his loved and his less loved wife, let's say, both have children, but his less loved wife has the older child.
The halakha says that the oldest son gets double portion.
Mm-hmm.
Being an oldest child, I understand. You make all your mistakes with the oldest child. Oldest child deserves the double portion. I don't know how it works with girls, but whatever. Okay, so the oldest boy gets a double portion. So here we have the oldest boy, though, is not the boy of the more loved wife. So what do you do? So the halakha says, the Torah says, when the time comes, when he wills his property to his son, he may not treat his firstborn, the son of the loved one, in disregard of the son of the unloved one who is older. Instead, he must accept the firstborn, the son of the unloved one, the actual firstborn. He's the one who gets the double portion. Now, you see in this translation here also that Tsnua is translated not as hated, how we would think it should be translated, but as unloved. Because it's very rare to have a situation where a woman is really hated, number one, and number two, I think is even the stronger proof, is if you look in this pasuk, he's saying that the verb Tsnua is used in contrast to Ahuba. One is really loved, and the other is doesn't have to be hated, but it's in contrast to the first one, not loved as much as.
Unloved.
Or not even, I don't even think that it's really, that what I'm saying is I don't even think it's necessarily unloved, and it certainly doesn't have to be hated. It could also, the halacha definitely applies if the woman is hated as well. But I don't think that it has to mean that. I think it could mean that we're talking about a woman who's very loved, and a woman who's less loved, because it is natural, you know, even maybe not natural with children, although many people do have qualities about certain of their children that they favor over others. Not that they favor the child, but I like this quality in him and that quality in him. But with spouses, the Torah is saying it's very possible that a person, you know, natural, normal, that a person isn't going to feel equal love for both of these spouses. Why? Okay. So what was actually, so now we have this whole conundrum, but we seem to have probably come out with this idea that he loves Rachel more, but how did he feel about Leah? Do we think he hated her, or do we think that
he loved her
also?
Yes.
Yeah, as much as Rachel?
No, he loved her, but since he loved Rachel more, in a comparison that he doesn't love her, but because.
But he really does, but he's using that word
right.
instead of saying.
He loves her, just that he loves Rachel more, so it switches your words in and he doesn't love her.
Because of all
but he really does.
It's right. A true love.
Uh-huh.
But Leah, it's just love.
It's just love.
He has a 7 kids with her.
He does.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, his kids come out of love.
Right.
Wouldn't it also be that Leah deceived him?
Excellent question. Based on what Batya said earlier on.
And when you deceive somebody like that,
I'm so happy about that. Mm-hmm. Look at source number 8.
I don't have it.
You never touched them.
Oh, yeah. My God. Pass these around, please. It is all in Hebrew. Okay, here we go. I translate everything I read. Okay. But looking at source number 8. Source number 8 is from the Midrash Rabbah. The Midrash Rabbah is a Midrash. So it was written around the time of the, let's say, 1st century, 2nd century, around there. It's a commentary, it's an exegesis, a commentary on things that happened in the Torah. So this one, you see I put brackets around it. Rabbi Chanin, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, by Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. Rabbi Chanin is quoting Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak, and says the following, Kevan Shira'a Avinu Yaakov, when Yaakov, our father, saw Ma'asim, the deed, Sherimat Le'a Ba'achota, that Le'a fooled or tricked her sister, Natan La'adol Da'atol Le'garsha, he wanted to divorce her. But when God remembered her and gave her children, he said, the mother of these beautiful children, I'm going to divorce. Implies the Midrash that how did he feel about Leah? initially maybe he might have loved her, but as soon as he found out what was going on, that she tricked him, he hated her and wanted to divorce her. He woke up in the morning, Vihinehi Leah, and behold, it's Leah. I did not bargain for this. How could you have kept quiet about this and not told me? Out of my house. But that's when God opened her womb, and that's when God made her able to have children. And even though we always say children don't make it better, in this case, it possibly did. But let's look for a moment at the names that Leah gives her children. And this is so heartbreaking to me. Okay, we're continuing from where we left off, page 152 and 153, verse 32. Vatah Leah vateled ben. Leah became pregnant, gave birth to a son. Vatikra shemo Reuven. She called his name Reuven. Ki amra, because she said, ki ra'ah Hashem ba'ani ki atah ye'ehavani ishi. God has seen my pain, and now my husband will love me. And then the next child. Vatahar od ben, vateled ben. She became pregnant again, had another son. Vatomer, and she said, Kishama Hashem kishnu'a anochi. God heard that I was less loved. Vayitain li gam etzeh, and he gave me also this, so she named him Shimon. Vatahar od vateled ben, another child, and she said, Vatomer, atah ha'pa'am yilaveh ishi, I lie. Maybe now my husband will come to me. Ki alatati lo shlosha benim, because I gave birth to three sons for him. Vatahar od vateled ben. And when she finally reaches the fourth son, she realizes, and she calls him the name of Yehuda, because she says, ha'pa'am odeh et Hashem. Now I just have to thank God, because I realize that more children and more children may keep him from divorcing me, but it's not going to make him love me.
Mm. Well, could she have said, no, I don't want to do this to my sister?
That's the point. That's what Yaakov is saying. She could have, right? You think about it.
Why put yourself through that mental stress of not being loved?
It's like,
and then every little thing, you know, like she's distraught, really.
Completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, can't even imagine being in her situation, and she's thrown into this. And Rachel doesn't want her around, and we're going to discuss it more and more and more. I think that's going to be our grand finale of could she have, and our last class maybe, or second class class, we'll talk about could she have done something against it, yeah.
But she didn't have any say to it when her father said that you are.
What does that mean she didn't have any say?
I mean, in those days, didn't they listen to their fathers, and whatever the father said, then that's what they married?
I don't know.
Doesn't that go like that?
Levan was her father. It was Rivka's brother. So it was her father, but still, okay, so what? Or what?
So, I mean, she probably couldn't have said anything. I mean, because in those days, I know that if the father said you will marry this particular person, then the girl has no say. As nowadays, you know, the father doesn't choose, the girl chooses, you know?
That's correct, so but there were many things, happened. But there were other things that Levon tried to force his children to do that they didn't want to have anything to do with what happened. But her daughter, Rachel, defied him when she stole the idols from her father's house. So there was a sense of defiance, there was a sense of what's right, and something as heinously wrong as this, you could think, although we don't know a whole lot about Leah, the Midrash tells us that she was very weepy, that she was crying all the time because she thought she was supposed to marry Esav. She could be that she wasn't so beautiful that way, although all the other Midrashim say she was gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. As beautiful as Rachel was, that's how beautiful Leah was, and they're both so beautiful. You know, but it could be that she, did you ever read The Red Tent? Don't read it if you didn't read it.
Did you read it? No.
I am the kind of person, I'm telling you, who if you tell me not to read a book, I'll run out and get it from the library that day. I read The Fountainhead. Did you ever read The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand? My teachers told me, it's forbidden, you can't read it, you shouldn't read it, there's something there, you shouldn't read it. Ran right out to the library, got a copy of The Fountainhead. But the whole thing from the beginning to end, I said, I don't know what the big deal was, why they didn't want me to read it. So my roommate, who is of similar disposition to myself, said, oh, well, this whole philosophical discussion. I said, oh, I skipped that. That was the boring part. Okay, but The Red Tent is a book, a dramatization, a novel written by a woman named Anita Diamond, and she dramatizes this. I don't know what exactly how far she goes, but I know she starts with the love story between Rachel and Yaakov. And I couldn't get past the second page. It was so inappropriate to me. And I'm very open to seeing the Avot and Imahot as people, because I think that they were people. But there are certain trains of thought that we don't need to go there with them. You know, the Torah isn't a Daniel Steele novel. And that's what she tried to make it out to be. And it was just very, it was very hurtful. But, yeah, so, but the point that I do want to make is that if we can for a moment imagine the romantic love that did exist between Rachel and Yaakov, and to have Leah looking onto this lovingly, wishing that she could have it, and she, I'm sure she had feelings for Yaakov also, and this is her sister is marrying the greatest guy ever who loves her to pieces, and Leah could have very well thought, well, maybe he'll love me too if I'm forced, if he's forced to, you know, if he has to, but you see, it didn't always work, and then later on she does a few more desperate tries to get him to love her more, but
it's like you said, she didn't want to marry Esau, and she knew what that would be like, so she settled for this.
Right. So she's doing this instead. So, but I brought you a few sources. So that was one opinion, one way of looking at it, that he really did hate her and wanted to divorce her when he saw that what a terrible thing she did. But I want to step back for a minute to source number 7, to Radak, who was a medieval interpreter, which we've done him before quite a bit this term. And he says as follows, Vayitain, that when Laban gave Rachel as a wife, Ve'avod gama Rachel, k'moshe ba'aleya, just like he had come to Leah with the same fervor and love that he came to Leah initially thinking that she was Rachel, that's how he came to Rachel herself. Ve'ahav gamet Rachel, lahodia ki gam Leah ahav. Radak is very careful to point out to us that Yaakov also loved Leah. Even though he didn't initially choose her as a wife for himself, once he married her, even though it wasn't intended, he loved her like any man would love his wife, but he loved Rachel in extraordinary love, something even beyond that. So you shouldn't think, says Radak, God forbid, you shouldn't think that Yaakov didn't love Leah. And we continue. So what does it mean? Why is the Torah telling us that Leah was hated, was snu'ah? Be'ar Hashem ki snu'ah Leah, that God saw it. It was objective. It wasn't her perception. Lo haya, says Radak, lo haya Yaakov shoneh otah. Yaakov didn't hate her. Aval haya ohev otah. He loved her. Ela lafisha haya ohevet Rachel yoter, because he loved Rachel more. Karala Leah snu'ah. So Leah was called snu'ah klomar. As if to say, kineged ahavat hashal Rachel haitashnua, as in connection to, as opposed to, in comparison to his love for Rachel, she could be considered hated, so to speak. And he quotes our passage from Devarim with the two wives. So he talks like that. And because she was second in his eyes, because she was second in Yaakov's eyes, in Hashem's eyes, it was as if she was hated. That it was so hurtful to Hashem to see Leah hurting like this, which is a very interesting way. We don't usually see God taking an interest in the marriage lives of his creations, but this is something that was very dear to him so much that he opened her womb and he enabled her to have children. And we've spoken, I think, in this group before about why God prevented our mothers from having children. That seems to have been their natural state. I mean, it is pretty much, think of what a miracle it is to be able to have children. It's an unbelievable miracle. And so her womb was opened up, but Rachel remained barren. So that's Radak's interpretation. God really can't ever say that Yaakov would hate a wife.
Could you say he hated what she did and not her?
So that's what the Midrash says, that he hated, right. But Radak wouldn't say that. Radak is very, we've spoken about him before. It's very interesting to look at his, I'm sorry, there's no English translation that I know of for his interpretation, but he's very interesting in his approach to all to the forefathers and the mothers and everything, that they could do no wrong, at least the men. The men could do no wrong. Okay, so Rashbam is a much more straightforward person. He tries to stick more to the text, and he says, Ve'yahav gam et Rachel, source number 9, Ve'yahav gam et Rachel, what does it mean? Ve'gam aheva yoter mi Leah, she, Rachel, was loved more than Leah, Kolomar ba'ila hava gam ahava, he came to her and also he loved her. Rov gam hafuchim bim batorah. He says, responds to something a little bit different than what we've explaining before. He says, one second. He says that the Vagam is talking about previously, that just like he came to Leah, that's how now he's coming to Rachel. Not that he also loved her, but that he came to her in addition to being that, sorry, one second. Okay, here's what he says. He says that the Gam is misplaced. What it should have said is, Ve'avo Gam el Rachel Vayahav et Rachel Mileah. That the Gam doesn't belong there. It's just like a double Gam. That it should, the Gam Yahav et Rachel Mileah. Meaning that he came to Rachel and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. Not that he loved Rachel in addition to Leah, but also aside from coming to Rachel, he also, by the way, loved her more than Leah. And Ramban, who's also a medieval interpreter, follows similar lines. Kisnua Leah, he says, Hine Leah rimtabachot ha Leah tricked her sister, Gambi Yaakov, and also Yaakov. Ki inna amar shen haga kavod b'aviha, if he say that Leah was trying to respect her father, she'achazba, that he held on to her, v'echnisha elav, v'al tamerbo, Hayala lahagid az lermos kihilea, that what she should have done, let's say you want to say that she was respecting her father, and then she had to, and she had no choice in the matter. But then at least when Yaakov got her into the tent, she could have hinted to Yaakov at some point that she's not Leah. Yaakov didn't have to go through with that. Afki haitami nakarat kol halayla. You know, or like she went a whole night without being recognized, and she really could have made some kind of indication that, hello, I'm Leah. Lefikach, but because she didn't say anything, lo hikira ad shera'alta baboker v'lachin shnaha Yaakov. Why did Yaakov hate her? Not because she went along with her father, because she had to, like Zoe said, she had to go along with what her father said. But once she was in the tent, she could have said something. You know, and the Midrash, I should have brought you this Midrash. Oh, there's such a beautiful Midrash, I'll just tell it to you, but the way it's written is just so unbelievably beautiful. That Rachel, it's a little twist on this idea, that Rachel saw what was going to happen. Rachel saw that Laban was going to take Leah in. And so she and Yaakov made a deal. They made signs, a secret code between the two of them, so that when they came in, when Leah came in, that Yaakov would be able to say to her, I don't know, what's your favorite color? And if Leah answered red, he would know that it wasn't Rachel because she hates red and she loves purple. Okay? But what did she do? Rachel made this deal with Yaakov. And then she realized what a terrible embarrassment it would be for Leah. For Leah to come in and for him to say, what's your favorite color? And she would say red. And he'd say, wrong one, goodbye, get out of here. And I'm like, could you imagine Leah in that situation? I mean, we just mentioned that. In the morning, it was bad enough. So Rachel felt so bad for her sister that she not only did she give her sister the code, she lay under the bed in the tent the entire night so that whenever Yaakov would caress Leah, she would respond. Rachel would respond from under the bed. So that Yaakov would say, now not only was she giving over her, imagine she's lying on good bed. Not just is she giving over the code, she's there. That's how unbelievably selfless Rachel was. That she did that.
But isn't that deceiving too? I mean,
it is deceiving. They are both deceiving him. But Rachel's deception is to save her sister. Because in the end, she'll marry him. In the end, she gets to marry him because she knew that Yaakov loved her enough that she'll get to be with him. But the deception was worth it so that her sister wouldn't be embarrassed.
Right. You're supposed to go to any extreme to keep a person from being
embarrassed. To keep a person from being embarrassed.
You got it, don't they?
You know.
She loved her sister enough.
It's like unbelievable. It's just, to me, it's so unbelievable. So here, but here he's saying, okay, so he really did, according to this, Ramban says, just like the Midrash says, just like Deborah said, he hated Leah because she kept quiet the whole night. And that doesn't, you know, the Midrash that I said with Rachel giving over the shrine doesn't totally fit in here. But the point, I just have to go back to that Midrash for a minute. The point of the Midrash is as follows. The Midrash is preceded and followed with a story. It's in the middle of a whole story. Now, when the Jewish people were being destroyed and chased out of the land, God is going to destroy all the Jewish people. When the first temple was destroyed, the third space of Midrash, in the year 586 BC, he was going to destroy everyone. And all the letters of the Torah come before Hashem, and they say, Hashem, the Aleph comes, and says, Hashem, don't destroy the Torah because of me, I represent this and this and that, you blah, blah, blah. And the Midrash goes through all the letters of the Torah. And Hashem said, no, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. Abraham comes in. Hashem, don't destroy the people. Remember what you did to me. Remember, blah, blah, blah. No, sorry, Abraham. Yitzchak comes, no. Yitzchak, Yaakov, no. Finally, after everybody comes before him, Rachel comes before Hashem. She says, Hashem, remember me. I'm Rachel. Do you remember what I did? Do you remember the treachery that I lived through and how I helped her and how I wasn't to make sure that she wasn't ashamed and I was double tricked, whatever, by my father, and I was really put through this terrible, horrible situation, and do you remember how selfless I was in that situation? And you, so your people are leaving you not for another wife, for like nothingness, and you're not forgiving them, you're not giving, you know, I forgave Leah for what happened, and I did this, this, and this. And Hashem looks at Rachel, and he says, Rachel, you're right. And so he saves a small group of the Jews, you know, and that's where we're from. You know, but it's just it's a very powerful midrash that she comes, this is her defense to God for the Jewish people, saying, I was selfish, and I overlooked a huge wrong done to me that you could do this also. You know, you're God, I'm just me. Okay, so fine, so back here. So he woke up in the morning, and he sees Leah, and he really hates her because she was quiet the whole night. So Elohim Yodeh, God knows. God knew that the whole reason that Leah kept quiet was so that she could be married, as we mentioned before. So instead of being married to Esav, she could be married to a tzaddik like Yaakov, to an amazing person like him. And God had mercy on her. And then he quotes the Midrash in source number 8, that when Yaakov saw what she did, he wanted to divorce her. And then Hashem remembered her. And he said, I can't. And then Yaakov said, I can't divorce her. And this is the reason why it says Vayara Elokim. This is why it says that Hashem saw that she was hated. Because he had mercy for her. And he opened her womb because he saw that the reason that she did it was so that she could marry such a tzaddik. The Yeshomrim, and there's another interpretation. He says, Kishtayim Nashim, when you have two women, but he's going back to our original suggestion that really, when you have two women, if one is really, really loved, then the other one who's less loved is called a snua, even though she's really not hated, but it's in reference to the other one. Kamo Shammai, like it says, V'yahav gamet Rachel me'et Leah, lo she'san'ah, not that he hated Leah, v'hayta busha b'davar v'ra'ah lo kimetz'anya. God forbid not that he should hate Leah, but why did God intervene? Because Leah was less loved, and he wanted to give Leah sort of a leg up, so to speak, in Yaakov's affections, or at least give Leah a focus, something to focus her life on other than the affections of her husband that she will never, that she'll never win. So this is a little bit of look into the beginning of the relationship between Yaakov and his wives. Next week we're going to be studying the story of the Dudaim, where, actually before we do the Dudaim, next week I think we're going to do, yeah, no, next week we're going to do things a little bit out of order. We're going to next week study the story of the Dudaim. If you want to read up on it, it's, where are we? It's page 155, chapter 30, verses 14 through 16, 17. Around there. Interesting stuff going on there. So we'll see you next week. It's March 1st. Right?
Next week?
Next week's March 1st. Yeah, we'll be talking about Dudaim, continuing in our discussion of Yaakov and his relationship with his wives, and then with each other, and we'll ultimately answer our question of why is Rachel always mentioned before Leah.
Do I also have the wedding to cover the veil?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if that's the reason we covered the veil. That's the reason we checked the veil. That's the reason the husband covers her with the veil.
To make sure that's,
you know what I'm saying? The husband is the one who actually covers. Instead of her coming to the chuppah just covered, the husband comes and checks and covers her. You know.
Because he doesn't have two wives.
Very common, you know.